Right now, it is time for Dr. Judy Wertman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, Journal of a Doc Midwife, and Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. And we say good morning to Dr. Wertman. Good morning, Dr. Wertman.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. And I hope to talk about something that has really bothered me for quite a while. And that's the fact that when you go into a health club, you know, a gym, it could be a Y, it could be a community center club, it could be or something perhaps in an apartment building, or one of, you know, the high-end commercially available health clubs, you know, especially the chains, that one sees a total, a remarkable absence of inclusiveness. And I don't mean by that you don't see ethnic, racial diversity. I mean, that you absolutely do. You know, there are people, you know, of all races, and certainly there's never, in my experience, ever been any reason not to feel comfortable, no matter, you know, what background you came from. But what's really absent, and this is something that, Marshall, you may have actually thought about or experienced, is that you rarely see anybody who is overweight or obese. You even more rarely would see anybody who is old. And certainly, unless that person is accompanied by a physical therapist or a trainer, you don't see people with mobility issues, you know, who may be recovering from a stroke or may have, you know, neurological problems so that they don't walk very well. They have gait problems. They can't sit or stand. You know, they certainly can't get on a treadmill by themselves or on and off an exercise cycle by themselves. You simply don't see these people. And I thought maybe it was something my own experience, but then I looked up, you know, various websites that were written or hosted by people who looked at what was going on in the fitness industry, and my suspicions were confirmed. Despite the fact that clearly, you know, a health club, a place to work out, to do exercise, should be available to all people, and there are enough options so that money should not be the limiting factor. You know, one of these things that these industry specialists were saying is that, look, you simply don't make this accessible. You don't have people who are going to help somebody with mobility issues get off and on a treadmill. And, you know, we who could do it easily think, oh, it's simple, but it's not, and people really can hurt themselves or get off and on a bicycle or something else. You don't have people feeling comfortable who may be old, whenever the average age is, you know, 37 and a half. And you certainly don't have gyms which really seem to welcome people who are not as fit as the average gym goer. And, you know, I was aware of this years ago when I was doing a lot of weight loss counseling, and I would try to encourage people to go to a gym, especially since, you know, walking outside and for 6 months out of the year was simply impossible because of the cold, well, most of the days anyway. And, you know, the response would be, wait a minute, how can I? Look at me. I'm fat, and everybody else is thin, and the women are wearing all these body-revealing, contour-revealing, spandex-type workout clothes, and the guys are going to be looking at me saying, what's that fat person doing in the gym? I'm not going to go to the gym until I lose weight. You know, and another woman said to me, people came up to her and congratulated her on working out. You know, she was trying to lose weight. And I said to myself, they're not congratulating anybody else for working out. So they're looking at me as somebody who's totally undisciplined and unfit, and so they're saying, oh, good job, you're working out. And she said, I found that totally offensive. And so, you know, and yet, I don't see that really, and I've belonged to gyms for years, any real change. And I really wonder how we can really, you know, make this come about.
Well, first of all, there's two things, being a person who's dealt with this and has been members of these. First of all, the people who are overweight have to get over the fact that they look different. That's one thing I've always been blessed with in my life. I've never looked at myself as an obese person as other people might look at me. Second, the owners of these gymnasiums should start special programs.
Right.
Start special programs where even if it's 2 days a week or 1 day a week, where they have a certain hour that's for people who are overweight. And then as that gets bigger, then you add more hours on during the course of the week. It's those two things that have to be done because, and gym owners should realize this, a majority of Americans are overweight.
Yes, exactly.
And they'd be expanding their client base. And then people who are heavy have to realize that, yes, we are being accepted into this facility.
And this has gone on for a long time. I remember talking about this with Marshall even 10 years ago. Because at that time also the equipment that was available was not as forgiving.
That's right.
That's right.
And if you really, I have a friend who, unfortunately had a stroke as a consequence of chemotherapy. It's a long story. I mean, she's not old, but you know, and she walks with a cane because she has balance issues, never quite recovered, and she won't go to a gym. She said, you know, I'm going to be knocked over by one of these guys. You know, who's on his way to a particular machine. Or she said, I have real trouble uses a cane, getting off and on some of the machines. I don't want to fall. I mean, she'll work out, you know, in a small facility with a trainer. She'll take yoga, because in a very small class. But otherwise, she really feels very uncomfortable. And she's young. And what about people who are not young? I mean, the population is aging. And we think of all the baby boomers who are now, what, close to 70? And are gyms really welcoming for those people?
No, they're not. And like I said, they could expand their market share simply by doing that.
Yeah, they could make a bloody fortune, in fact. And you know, and that's just really interesting. I'm not seeing the business brain working hard.
Pardon?
I'm not seeing the business brain exercise itself.
That's right, exactly.
I mean, you just either put on different hours, or there's all sorts of ways to do it.
You do it off peak. I mean, if you go to a gym in an urban area, well, any area, after 9 o'clock in the morning and before 4:30 in the afternoon, the only people you usually see on the floor are a couple of trainers, maybe some hardcore people, and then people who you'll have the time to go in the middle of the day, and the gyms are really empty then, and that's when they should have classes. And as I said, pointed out to you, Jim, Jill, you know, one of the things that I've been afflicted with is, I guess, a difficulty of positioning myself in space so that when I've taken yoga classes, which I haven't done for a while, unfortunately, and I'm the only one in the room, you know, who has her left, foot over her right ankle or something, when everybody else is doing the opposite. You know, I've been in a situation where the teacher has come over and sort of gently repositioned in my legs, my embarrassment, everybody's looking at me. I'm thinking, why can't they have a class for people who really can't quite figure out, how to move their bodies in space and have to take a little time figuring it out rather than going from one exercise to another?
Oh, right, and I have the same affliction on my planet. And I went to one aerobics class, when it was the thing to do. Think working girl, okay? It had to be in the 80s. And I packed my bag and I went in, and it was the most hideous experience of my life. Only because all of these other people from this other, all of the normal people knew which way to go. And
exactly.
I'm like, what? So I took my I'm like what, and I never went back, and that's that.
I know. I mean, everybody's dancing to the right, and there you are on the left-hand side of the room.
Right into them.
So why don't they acknowledge this? I mean, it's this real contradiction between the diversity of backgrounds, that are totally welcoming in a gym, and the non-acceptance and making it easier for people who simply do not fit into the physical mode of the people that the gyms are trying to attract.
And I think, by the way, I just would like to throw out the possibility that is that's a paradigm in a lot of different arenas. It's like people are being so busy being inclusive that they're forgetting the practicalities of doing so.
Exactly.
Like, dudes, hello. Set up your time so that the people who are free during the day, there's a group. And then if you really want to borrow your, exercise your commercial brain cells, it's like, okay, make a special,
I think one of the problems is that the people who work at a gym, by and large, are a particular age group also. And so, as a matter of fact, when you go onto a piece of equipment, it will say, well, you, how old are you? And you, if you really are beyond the age that the machine is programmed for, there's really no program. And what if you are 75 and your heart rate isn't as fast as if you were 35? There's no program for you at that particular age. I mean, even at that level, people assume that, I don't know, are you dead at the age of 65, after 65, so you don't use a gym? From bottom down, you know, from just the people in the front desk welcome you to the people who are making these machines, nobody is even thinking about this. Nobody's even thinking about how an obese person with trouble lifting up one leg or another can get on some of these machines. And, you know, I think that if I were, you know, a marketing person, I would certainly take over this industry and say, look, you have a gigantic number of people who would join if you only made it accessible to them.
That's the bit that I'm talking about with commercial brain cells. That's all.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Well, who knows? Maybe something will happen. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.